You know, time flies when you're having fun. I have really enjoyed my time with you, and it's been neat to see how God has worked and what an encouraging thing as far as the amount of the commitments thus far. And I'm personally just confident that's not done yet. So we've got one more time to collect cards, and then I'm sure, as Pastor mentioned, if you need to put your card in a little bit later on, that's fine too. That I don't think you'll refuse any cards that are put in later on. But what's most exciting is the fact that each one has taken the time to just search their heart and to listen to whatever it is that the Lord has laid on your hearts individually as you look towards this new missions year coming up. This may be the last night of the missions conference, the last message per se, but really it's not the end. This is just the beginning.
Amen.
Now it's time to perform the doing of it. And as you look ahead to this upcoming missions year, I think it's going to be an exciting time for you. Let me say quickly, thank you so much to you as a church for your hospitality and all that you did for me this week. I appreciate the very comfortable place to stay and the food and more food that you provided. I will definitely be a bigger missionary because of it. So I appreciate your ministering to me in that way, to say the least. But I have enjoyed my time fellowshipping with each one of you. And also I want to say publicly to Pastor Pease, thank you for allowing me to come and to preach. I know what it is to be in the pastor's position and a guy come and you're going to give your pulpit to this guy that you've never really heard preach before behind your pulpit. So I don't take that lightly. Anytime I get behind the pulpit, anytime I open up God's Word, I do not take that lightly. And so I want to say thank you to Pastor Pease for allowing me to open God's Word to you this week. If you would, stop by our table on the way out tonight, and anything that's there, hey, it's free game. It'll help me lighten my load on the way back. But if you've not picked up a prayer card for our family, can I just ask that you would do that and remember us in prayer? We do need the prayers of God's people as we fulfill the ministry that God has given to us. And as I've already given to you this week, my testimony, this is not a ministry we ever looked for, not a ministry we ever expected, even in a million years. But this is where God has put us. And if you are going to take that upon yourself as a ministry for this year, there are two prayer requests that I ask people to pray for concerning my ministry and our family and what God's called us to do. Number one, I ask that you would pray that God would give me wisdom. The book of James says that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God and He'll give to all men liberally. Please pray, because it's amazing the different things that I deal with and the different situations that I encounter in missions and in traveling and all kinds of things. I need God's wisdom. But then the second thing that I ask your prayer for, and this goes together with wisdom, and it's this, the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, I more and more, with each passing day, I see the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I say that, I think you understand, it means I must be empty of myself and be filled, not just partially filled, but completely filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I would ask you, if you would, remember those two requests in particular. Other requests that come to your mind, pray for us, and whatever comes to your mind, that's great, because we need the prayers of God's people. But those would be the two that I'd ask you in particular to pray with me about. And we'll be praying that God would help you as a church as you move forward now in this new missions year and the endeavor that He's placed upon your heart as far as missions is concerned. And as I thought about the message for tonight, I really just wasn't sure as I began to pray about what the Lord would have me to bring. But I believe the message that I have here tonight is the message for this evening. And here's what I want to remind you of. As the Faith Promise Commitment cards have been taken up, and we'll take them up one more time tonight, and then you know they'll be there for the weeks ahead as well. For those of you who participated, which, by the way, I hope that everyone has participated. I believe every Christian, this personal opinion, I believe every Christian ought to be involved in Faith Promise giving, okay? Again, you don't have to be, and we've already talked about that from Scripture, but it's just a personal opinion of mine. I believe everybody ought to be involved. But those of you who have made that decision to be involved, let me say this to you. Satan is not happy with what you've done this week.
Yes,
and you as a church, for having a missions conference like this, and for emphasizing missions and emphasizing the need to get the gospel around the world, Satan is not happy with this church.
Glory to God.
And you know, as we think about that, there's some things that I want to encourage you in with that thought in mind. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. and verse number 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Anytime we do right, we can expect opposition. Quite honestly, in my ministry, as I make different decisions and move forward in different areas, if I don't experience opposition, sometimes I step back and say, whoa, what's wrong? Because when we do right, when we step out for Lord Jesus Christ, we can expect opposition from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But I would remind you tonight that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we are already on the victory side. But nonetheless, with that thought, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, Paul, as he writes to the church of Galatia, says this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." This verse of Scripture, I'm going to let the punctuation divide it into three different parts. First of all, I want to talk about the call to tireless well-doing. The call to tireless well-doing. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." The second part is the certainty of reaping. He says, "For in due season we shall reap." Praise the Lord, not might reap, but we shall reap. And then finally, the last part of the verse says, "If we faint not." That is the condition of the promise. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin tonight. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity once again to open your word and to share what you've laid on my heart. And God, I am asking for the filling of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me. God, please make me a vessel that is fit for your service, for this particular service that you have given to me at this moment in this time. And Lord, I pray once again you'd help us to focus on your word, to focus on you. Lord, I know that there are so many other things in life that we can be focused on, and so many other things that can take up our time and our attention. But Lord, for these next 30 minutes or so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to truly hear from you. God, please help me now. Help each one of us. And I pray that you be glorified through this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First of all here, let's talk about the call to tireless well-doing. Paul says, "Let us not be weary." Now, if I were to ask the question tonight, and I'm not going to, but if I were to ask the question tonight, hey, how many are weary? Dare I say we'd probably have a good number of hands go up, especially those that didn't get your Baptist nap this afternoon, okay? I know how that works, okay? But, you know, hey, this has been a long week, but a good week. It's a good kind of tired, you know, when you get to the end of the missions conference. And, you know, we can become weary as far as physically speaking. But obviously, Paul's talking more here about than just the physical side of things and becoming weary in that way. Paul is speaking spiritually, that we are not to become weary. Now, the question that I would ask myself then is, how do I keep from becoming weary? If I'm not supposed to become weary, which that's well understood, he says that that's what we're to not do, then how do I keep from becoming weary? Well, let me give you a few suggestions tonight, some things I think we can pull from the Word of God to help us understand this. And first of all, what we'll do is apply it to the physical side to help us understand it from that perspective. But then the main application we want to make is, spiritually speaking, how to keep from becoming weary. For example, number one, how do we keep from becoming weary? Well, we need to get the proper daily nutrition that our body needs. If we don't get the right nutrition, physically speaking, our body does become weary. Now, there's certain things in life that I like. I like the Snickers bars. I mean, that's good. And I don't know if you've ever had the new peanut butter Snicker bars, okay? But that's some really good stuff. But, you know, if that was my complete diet, if that's all I had was the peanut butter Snicker bars, I would become weary in a hurry, especially when all that sugar kicked in and that's all I had in my system, okay? We've got to have the right diet to keep from becoming weary. Spiritually speaking, it's the same way. If you and I do not have the proper diet, we will become weary. We've got to have a steady diet of the Word of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 talks about newborn babes as they desire the sincere milk of the Word. The book of Hebrews talks about the meat of the Word of God. You say, what does this have to do with missions? Well, here's my point. You have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to do whatever it is He's laid on your heart to do. Now, as you go forth to do this, let me encourage you, stay in the Word of God. Amen. If it's not already a habit of yours to be in God's Word every day, Oh, please, make that a habit starting today. It doesn't mean you have to spend 2 hours a day reading God's Word. And if you do, that's wonderful. But at least take some time to let God speak to you through His Word. To get that proper nutrition, the milk, the meat of the Word, and let it become sweet as honey. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of junk food out there, if you will. The world's junk food, that if we feast on that and that alone, let me tell you what, we will become weary. So we've got to get the right nutrition. Number two, we've got to exercise regularly. This is a big one, isn't it? This is hard to do, physically speaking. Hey, it's important for us to keep up on that. But spiritually speaking, it's even more important. When we talk about exercising, number one, we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercising unto godliness. You've heard the saying before, no pain, no gain. It's true spiritually as well. Exercising ourselves unto godliness, to become like God, God-like, to become like Jesus, doesn't just happen automatically. We have to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Now, there's a lot of applications we can make here, but let me make this one because this is Missions Conference. I truly believe that this is an exercise unto godliness. And if there is no pain, there is no gain, if you will. You say, how so? Well, think about this. We are to, if we're going to become godly, we are to become more like God, to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Well, here's the example that's been set. God the Father sacrificed and sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this world. Jesus Christ submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father, and He came to this world, and He sacrificed Himself on the cross. He was buried, and praise the Lord, He rose again the third day. Why? So that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you understand, when we talk about missions, when we talk about faith promise, we're talking about following the example of God. How so? Sacrificing so that others can hear the message of Jesus Christ. Submitting to the will of the Heavenly Father and giving so that others can hear that wonderful message about what Jesus Christ has done. Understanding then that they are a whosoever, and if they call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. This is an exercise unto godliness. There may be some weeks or some months where it's not all that hard to give what God's laid on our hearts to give, but let me remind you, there's going to be some weeks and some months where it's not going to be as easy. But no pain, no gain. Exercise ourselves unto godliness. But here's another one. Number two, we're to exercise ourselves to have a clear conscience. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul says, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Well, there's nothing like the soft pillow of a clear conscience at the end of a day. We need to exercise ourselves to have a clear conscience. Now, Scripture says specifically there, a clear conscience before God and before men. Let's talk about both of them just quickly. Number one, before God. Can I remind you of something very simple? As you filled out one of these cards, you made a commitment to God. You didn't make a commitment to the deacons of this church. You didn't make a commitment to the ushers of this church. You didn't even make a commitment to Pastor Pease. You made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would be faithful to give this commitment. Keep a clear conscience. You know, when those difficult weeks or months roll around, when it's time to give and it's just not quite there, make sure you keep a clear conscience. Why? Because if you just ignore your conscience, ignore the Holy Spirit one time, what happens? It's easier to do it the second time. If you do it the second time, what happens? It's easier to do it the third time. Well, we need to have a clear conscience before God. But also, let me mention this, a clear conscience before men. You see, now how does that apply? Well, let me make this application tonight. You see, if Satan had his way, Satan would love to come into this church and divide and conquer. He would love to cause division and disunity in this church. Why? Because together you've just unified and come together and say, hey, we want to do more for missions in this upcoming year. And if Satan can come in and put a wet blanket on that, he would just absolutely love it. How does he do that? Well, one of the best ways he knows to do that is to cause strife one with another. And a root of bitterness, it's amazing what a root of bitterness will do one with another. And you know, if we don't keep short accounts one with another, if we've been offended, hey, let's go to that brother or that sister in Christ and say, hey, listen, we need to get this straightened out. We need to have this right between us. Oh, how sad it is when churches get so wrapped up in things that really make no difference for eternity. You know, you've heard the proverbial split in the church over the color of the carpet. You understand that that really does happen? Oh, how sad. Let's make sure that we're right with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would also remind you this, did not Jesus say that if you bring your offering to the altar and there you realize that you have an offense with a brother or sister, that you're to leave that offering and to go get it right with your brother or sister, and then you're to bring that offering and offer it to the Lord. Hey, let's make sure we keep that clear conscience. Exercise ourselves to a clear conscience before God and toward men. So we got to get the right nutrition, number two. We got to get the right exercise. Number three, we got to get the proper rest. The proper rest. Now, obviously we understand this physically speaking, spiritually speaking. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How does he say that's to happen? He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He says, the way you find rest unto your souls is to take my yoke upon you. And yoke, you understand, that means work. But you notice what Jesus says in that next verse. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You understand that as you've made this commitment, you can go ahead and try and do it all by yourself if you want to. But personally, when I make my faith promise commitment to the Lord, I want to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. If He's the one that's asked you to do this, yoke up with Him. Allow Him to do the work through you. Don't try and do the work yourself. Why? Because you'll wear yourself out. You know, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Oh, let's be strong in the power of His might, resting in Him. It's easy to become anxious sometimes about how the Lord's going to provide that faith promise commitment we've made. But let's rest in Him and get that proper rest. Why? So that we don't become weary. Paul says, let us not be weary. How do we keep from becoming weary? We've got to get the right nutrition. We've got to exercise regularly. We've got to get the proper rest. And here's one more. We have to keep our eyes focused. Now, for those of you who don't wear glasses, you will not appreciate this illustration nearly as much as those of us who do. But I have worn glasses just about as long as I can remember. And you know, if I take my glasses off, I mean, no offense, but y'all are just a bunch of big blobs out there to me right now. I just can't hardly even see one from the other. This is the way my eyesight is. And you know, if I have to go for long periods of time without my glasses, I find myself squinting and trying to focus, trying to see what's going on, and it wears me out. One of the first times I ever realized that is when I was growing up, I played basketball. And I was on the starting five. But I won't tell you there's only six total on the whole team, so that really doesn't say all that much. But, you know, as I played basketball, it was amazing. I felt so bad after I realized it as I grew up and looked back on it for my parents. I broke so many pairs of glasses when I played basketball. It was absolutely amazing. And my mom, she was such a good mom. I remember one time we were in a tournament and I took an elbow to the face and my glasses, one part of them went this way and the other part went the other way. And I got both pieces and I'm trying to find my mom, you know, out there, and she's out with the crowd and I'm holding these glasses and I look and I realize what she's doing. She's reaching into her pocketbook and out of her pocketbook, she pulls a roll of masking tape and she throws it to me out on the court. And I wound it around. I had this big wad of tape right up here. I was the biggest geek you've ever seen. But praise the Lord, I could finish the game, you know. I tell you what, playing without glasses, which I've done once or twice, it just wears me completely out because I'm trying to focus. I can't really see what I'm supposed to see. I'm worried that the ball's going to hit me in the face. You know, hey, listen, in the Christian life, if we don't focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will wear ourselves out. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But now listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, I think about Peter. Remember as he walked on the water? When he was focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, he did okay. But when he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and put it on the storm, the wind, the waves, all that was going on around him, that's when he began to sink. The encouragement that I'm trying to give you here is very simple. You've made a major commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. You know, it's going to be very tempting. It's going to be very easy to see the storms that are going to go on around you. Satan wants to fight you on this thing. If you focus on other things, you're going to become weary. But if you keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll be able to stay focused and not become weary. Now, there's more we could say, but we have to move on. Paul says, let us not be weary. And then he says this, in well-doing. In well-doing. So, what can we say about well-doing? Well, we could make a whole message just on that, but let's apply it to missions tonight. We're close to the book of Philippians. If you would, turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 14. And as you're turning, let me remind you that this is one of the churches at Macedonia. The two main churches, the church of Macedonia, the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica. So now as Paul writes to this church at Macedonia, the church at Philippi, here's what he says to them. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 14. Notwithstanding ye have, what are the next two words? Well done. This is well doing. He says, this is well doing. Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. That is, they participated with him in his ministry, helped him out in his affliction. Now ye Philippians, verse 15, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now notice this description of the missions offering. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Let us not be weary in well-doing. I want to remind you tonight that missions giving and missions in general is well-doing. God says it in black and white. This is well-doing. And he says about the missions offering, it's odor of a sweet smell. It's acceptable to God. It's not just pleasing. The Bible says it's well-pleasing unto him. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but you realize that as that offering plate comes by you, as you drop that missions offering in there, you understand that there is a sweet aroma that arises to the throne of God in heaven. That missions offering, hey, this is well-doing. And you know, since we're here in Philippians 4, I can't continue on unless I at least mention verse number 19. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Remember, that promise was made not just arbitrarily, because I've heard it used arbitrarily, but it was made to a church that said, you know, we're going to make missions a priority. We're going to focus on others. Yes, we have needs right here at home. Didn't the churches of Macedonia have needs? Yes, great trial of affliction, deep poverty. But you know, they said, we're still going to focus on others and make missions. And the Apostle Paul and his ministry, we're going to make that a priority. And God said, you know what? Your needs will be met. Amen. How are they going to be met? According to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. I don't think he's ever going to run out of riches, folks, Amen. So we can be confident that he will meet our needs. What a wonderful promise. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? Because of point number 2, the certainty of reaping. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, the certainty of reaping. For in due season we shall reap. Let me first of all talk about that phrase there, for in due season. You look this up, the Vine's expository dictionary says this, in the season divinely appointed for reaping. I like that definition because he says divinely appointed. It's according to God's timetable, not ours. I don't know about you, but my timetable and God's timetable rarely match up. It's because I'm the kind of person, I want it done yesterday. That's just the way I work. But you know, God's timetable, I will say this, is always perfect. He's never ahead of time, he's never behind time, but he's always right on time. You know, Isaiah says it this way, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." For in due season, when he says that it's the right time, the Bible says, we shall reap. Again, the Bible doesn't say we might reap, or there's a 99% chance that we'll reap, but the Bible says we shall reap. How and why can the Bible say that? How can we be so confident? Because our God is faithful. And we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Let me say that verse again and emphasize this. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. He is faithful. We shall reap. Now understand, when I say that, there are some who have all kinds of ideas about that. I actually read in a book one time about a pastor, a preacher, who was trying to tell his people about faith promise. And he built this box and he sat it right up here on the communion table. And he had this box rigged up. And it was two slots in it with a little motorized thing. And the top slot, he had a $5 bill. And he said, now folks, if you give to faith promise, give God $5. He said, this is what happens. And he put it in that top slot. And the little motor pulled in that $5 bill. And at the same time that it pulled in the $5 bill, out the bottom dropped a $20 bill. And he said, see, this is what happens. You give God a $5, he'll give you $20. Now folks, that is a bunch of baloney. That makes faith promise like some sort of gimmick. Faith promise is not a gimmick. It's a biblical principle laid out for you and I, 2 Corinthians 8 and other places as well. Now let me tell you this. If God gave me a 20 for every 5 I gave him in missions, whoo, that'd be pretty nice. But you know, God doesn't necessarily work that way. God can do that if he so desires. But I have found it to be my experience that the greatest blessings in life really have nothing to do with money. Amen. But have the best blessings in life have everything to do with those things that count for all eternity. Amen. And you know, as you think about these blessings, I have to also mention this. I hope you understand that we shall reap, but it may not be on this side of eternity. You see, the blessings that we reap, maybe those blessings when we get to heaven and see what we have sent on up ahead. We can't take it with us, but we can send it on up ahead. Right. It's kind of like filling out a deposit slip for the bank of heaven, if you will, where rust and moth can't get in and corrupt and thieves can't break through. And boy, what a wonderful thing. We shall reap. It's a done deal. And I don't know about you, but I think probably the greatest blessing would be for me if someday I can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and if I can hear him say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, I mean, again, if you apply this tonight, when you think about the amount that you've put on this card, if you stood before him tonight, would he say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? If God's spoken to your heart this week about being a missionary, have you surrendered to that call? Would he say to you tonight, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? You see, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. The third point is the condition of this promise. That word "if" is what I call a little big word. It's only two letters, but boy, it carries a big meaning with it. A little big word. You know, somebody can say something to you like, hey, well, I'm going to give you such and such. And boy, you can get so excited, and then they can say, if you give me such and such. It changes everything, doesn't it? Or, hey, I'll do such and such for you. Woo! If you first do such and such for me. Now, that little big word carries a lot with it. And Paul's saying here, hey, you will reap in due season if you don't faint. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, my first thought is this. Well, what can I do to keep from fainting? Because I don't want to faint. I want to be able to reap. And so when I think of that question, the first thing that comes back to my mind is this. Well, if I don't become weary to begin with, then I will not faint. Which really brings us right back to the beginning of the verse where we started earlier. So how do we keep from becoming weary? Well, we've got to do things like watching our nutrition, making sure we exercise, get the proper rest, and make sure we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all these things, and continue in those things, and don't become weary in well-doing. But there's another thing that I want to mention here. When we talk about fainting not, maybe some of you had these verses come to your mind when you read those words, if we faint not. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31 say this, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So one of the keys to not fainting is doing this, waiting on the Lord. Now, when I talk about waiting on the Lord, when the Bible talks about waiting on the Lord, probably one of the first things that comes to your mind, and mine too, is, okay, let's just kind of sit here and let's wait on the Lord. And I will say this, there is something that needs to be said about that. God says that we are to be still and to know that He is God. And you know, we live in a day and time where most people just can't be still. They've got these little things stuck in their ears all the time. It's connected to this little thing and they're always doing this thing. Or they're picking it up, putting it up to the, and there's always something. When do we take time to really be still and to wait on the Lord? So there is that aspect of waiting on the Lord, and I think we all understand that aspect. But let me bring out another aspect of waiting on the Lord, and here's the picture. You know, if we go to a restaurant, and no, McDonald's does not count as a restaurant, okay? Now, if we go to a restaurant, and they take us to a seat, and they sit us down, and they say, your waiter or your waitress will be with you in a moment. When that waiter or that waitress comes to our table, with the name that they have being a waiter or a waitress, does that mean they're going to sit down at the table with us and just be still and do nothing? It means they're going to serve us, doesn't it? So waiting on the Lord involves more than just sitting and waiting and being still. It involves continually serving Him. Doing those things that He has asked all Christians to do. You know, there are going to be times in this upcoming missions year, and it's going to be time to give that faith promise commitment, and you know, you're not going to know where it's going to come from. And you may not understand what God is doing, and it's going to be a difficult time. So what do you do when those difficult times come? You wait on the Lord. Be still, know that He is God, but continue to serve Him faithfully. Let me put this picture into your mind, and we'll close with this. When we first started to work in Alaska, we started out in the capital city of Juneau. Beautiful place. Just absolutely gorgeous. And one of the things that you would see all the time in Juneau were bald eagles. They were everywhere. It was almost as common to see an eagle there as it is a robin or a blackbird around here. Okay, I mean, they're just all over the place. And it was an amazing thing. My wife and I lived in a duplex, and we lived on Thunder Mountain Road. Thunder Mountain Road was a neat place to live because when you turned off of the main road onto Thunder Mountain Road, well, first of all, it wasn't a paved road, but that's Alaska, no big deal. But the road itself was maybe a mile, if that long. And when you got to the end of Thunder Mountain Road, it ended because there was a mountain, Thunder Mountain, that went straight up. It was a beautiful place to live. As my wife would wash dishes and she looked out the kitchen window, and she looked out to Thunder Mountain. And there were times when you could go out there, and actually there were people that were crazy enough to go to the top of that thing and jump off of it with hand gliders. You know, just, I don't know, that just doesn't interest me, but hey, that's more power to them. But you know, one of the things that I really enjoyed watching on top of Thunder Mountain was the eagles. And as those eagles would fly around up there above that mountain and on the side where we lived, it was just like effortless flight. It was just amazing to watch them. You know, there wasn't a bunch of flapping wings. You know, it was just they had their wings stretched out, and those air currents up there were just amazing, to where they just turned and they just floated and just, oh, it was amazing to watch them. But you know, it was really interesting. There were times when they would be doing that and they'd be flying, and all of a sudden there would be some sort of air current. Apparently, they would just come in and come under their wings, and they would just go up and over and the other side of the mountain. They were just gone. It was an amazing thing to watch and to see. And you know, you understand that for you and I, there's going to be those times where we've got our wings outstretched. And the Lord says, wait on me. So what do? We wait on Him. We have to understand, be still, know He is God, but keep flying. Continue on. Keep serving the Lord. Why? Because at the right time, the season divinely appointed, God will bring along that air current, if you will. He will come under our wings and He will lift us up and take us over that mountain that before was insurmountable for you and I. And you know, there's going to be difficult times that are going to come in this upcoming missions year for you. There are for me, as I just recently filled out my faith promise card for my home church as well. Listen, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I don't know about you, but I want to mount up with wings as eagles. I want to run and not be weary. I don't want to faint. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. A simple verse, but let's keep it in mind in this upcoming missions year. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. It's our time of invitation.